let's move on to today's message. I've entitled it as the following: A life lived in fear is a life half lived. Now, frankly, I heard that in watching a movie that with my wife about a week or two ago, and it really spoke to me because it really deals with what we've been talking about over the last several posts, and that is the issue of fear. Learning how to take every thought captive and recognizing those thoughts that are introduced, number one, by God, but also recognizing those thoughts that are introduced by the world or by Satan himself. And so when we begin to operate in fear, then that should be our cue, if you will. That should be our hint that there's something wrong. Because we know that God is not the author of fear, but of love, trust, faith, strength, and all of the things that we need in this life. And so we need to recognize that when we begin to operate in fear, that we need to step back, take our stand, and recognize that God is in the business of breaking bondages. Now, I believe last time I said that God's grace can break bondages, but God's grace can't make decisions for you. I want you to listen. Let me say that again. God's grace can break bondages, but God's grace cannot make decisions for you. In other words, we know that every good thing comes from the Father of light, which is from above, and that most important thing that he offers us is his grace. That giving us that which we don't deserve, that which we cannot earn. But yet he gives us his love, his protection, and his provision through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, having said that all of these good things come from him, we need to recognize that God's not going to do things necessarily for us. There are times when God instructs us to take a step of faith, instructs us to do something, and then what so many people do is they just simply wait for God to do what he's told us to do. You see, God's grace makes it available, but it's our decision to take it. As an example, look at James 4, verses 7 and 8. An important scripture, this really talks about spiritual warfare and the fact that we need to be listening to the voice of God and rejecting the voice of the enemy. In any case, James 4, verses 7 and 8 says the following: Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now let's take a moment to examine that. Therefore, submit to God. What does that mean? It means that we are in an attitude of being ready to obey whatever he says to us. Submit to God simply means that his way is always the right way. And whenever we do something contrary to his way, then we are in the wrong. So therefore, if we submit to God, then every provision that he has for us is made available to us. But when we submit to God, we also at the same time have to resist the devil. Because the word tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. Now, we resist the devil by submitting to God. And that's an important concept. That's an important idea. It's not battling against the devil on our own strength and our own ability. But it's because we are submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to resist the devil successfully. You see, the cross, it represents that bloodline that the devil can't cross. And so when we submit to God, what we're saying to the devil is, you must get away from me. Get behind me, Satan, if you will. And then verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, so many times in our daily walk, we forget about him. We get caught up in life. We get caught up in the circumstances and the situations and the good things and the bad things in life. And when we do that, it's very often we draw away from God. But the instruction here is that we have to draw closer to Him. We have to decide to submit to Him. We have to decide to pursue Him. We have to decide to put everything else aside so that we can spend time with Him. And when we do that, the word is very clear. He draws near to us. That's powerful. Because we need to learn how to draw near to God, because it's when we draw near to Him that we get instruction, we get in a direction, we get words of understanding and wisdom that will make our lives successful. Continue on with verse 8 in that James chapter 4 section. It says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Listen, as believers in Jesus Christ, we know when we're doing wrong. The Spirit of God in us makes it evident to us when we are doing wrong. When we are lying, we know we're lying. When we're committing adultery, we know we're committing adultery. When we're stealing or we're doing all, you know, and doing other violations of the Ten Commandments, we know that we're doing wrong. And somehow we think that if we continue to do these things, that somehow God will be for us. No, that's very far from the truth. You see, God cannot bless what He doesn't approve of. But as we submit to God and resist the devil, then we draw near to God and He draws near to us. And then He said, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, purify your hearts in this sense means get rid of the doubt, get rid of the fear. What does James say about the double-minded man? That he will not have anything, that he will not get anything from God. You can't be for God one moment and against doing, violating God's principles and commandments on the other. You see, we have to be sold out. We have to give in totally to God. We need to make a decision that we are going to sharpen our spiritual hearing, our spiritual eyes, and our spiritual understanding to discern the voice of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 makes it very, very clear that the Spirit of God in us enables us to comprehend the things of the Spirit, the mind of Christ. And so when you hear God's voice or you get a sense of his direction for your life, you have to take the risk. It's the only way that you begin to recognize His voice or His prompting. One of the challenges, the greatest challenge I think that we have as believers, is to be able to discern the voice of God, to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit in us. So many times we're listening to this person, or we're listening to that person, or we're listening to those, you know, the world system. But we need to begin to recognize that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us as believers in Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit lives in us, we have to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. That means to be directed by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will always direct us in the direction of righteousness, that right living, doing those things that are right before God's eyes, those things that are right in the mind of God. Not those things that we think are right, not those things that we want to be have right. We need to learn how to recognize His voice and follow hard after Him. And the way we do that is that we learn to start being faithful in the small areas of our lives first. When God speaks to you, He speaks to you at a level that you can handle. He's never going to ask you to do something that you can't do, because He is with you and He is for you, not against you. And whatever you lack, He will provide for you. And so we start by making those decisions, those small decisions that enable us to move forward in God, even though it might be contrary to what the world around us might be thinking, what our friends are thinking, what our family is thinking. See, being a faith walker means that you are not afraid to take risk. There's always a risk when you begin to learn how to hear God. Because the truth is that sometimes when we hear things, it may be God. It could be our own thoughts, our own imaginations, or it could be the enemy of our soul. So how do you begin to learn to discern the voice of God? You begin to learn how to discern the voice of God by being in daily communication with Him. I can discern the voice of my wife no matter where she is, whether she's calling me from across the room, whether she's calling me on the telephone, but whatever method she uses, I know her voice. No one can imitate her voice. And not only do I know her voice, but I know her heart. So I know the kinds of things that she would ask me to do. She would never ask me to do something that would violate God's principles or God's laws, because she is a godly woman. In the same way, as we spend time in communication, we begin to discern the voice of the one we're communicating with. I've had occasions where I've been traveling around the world, and I'll get a call on my cell phone, and I'll pick up the phone, and I'll hear my voice, my wife's voice, and I never say, "Who is this?" Can you imagine the trouble I would be in if I said, "Who is this?" because I didn't recognize her voice? But because we have spent years and years and years of communicating, talking, being with each other, fellowshipping with each other, loving one another, I know her voice, and she knows my voice. And in the same way, as we develop that communication, that relationship, that fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit, you will begin to discern His voice more clearly. But in the beginning, it's a challenge. In the beginning, there's always a risk. In the beginning, God will always ask you to do things that require faith. See, faith means that you are trusting that what you're hearing is true and that you're doing what you're hearing to be true. See, faith without action is just wishful thinking. But when we start making decisions for Christ, when we start making decisions for God, and because we have sensed the prompting in our spirit, maybe it's because we've been reading the Word and the Word just speaks to us about something in our own lives that we have to deal with. Or maybe it's because we've heard a message being preached by someone and it speaks to our heart because it has to do with something that we have to deal with. And so in any one of these areas, it's you've got to do something. It's not enough to be filled up with knowledge, but knowledge always leads to understanding. And if we apply the knowledge wisely, then that's what God calls wisdom. We're called to be believers that walk in the wisdom of God. And the walking in the wisdom of God means that we need to begin to learn to hear His voice, because He wants to speak to us. He loves you. He loves you. God loves you. Oh, don't look at your past. Forget about your past. Look at your life right now. God loves you. Make a decision to start anew today and pursue, press in, push in to your relationship with Him. And as you push into your relationship with Him, you will begin to discern, you begin to hear, you begin to sense the voice of the Holy Spirit. You begin to recognize it because his voice always lines up with the word, with the scriptures. It never violates the scriptures. It never tells you to steal. It never tells you to commit murder. It never tells you to commit adultery. It never tells you to lie and be a false witness. It never tells you to defraud someone else. But it tells you to love one another as Christ has loved you. You demonstrate your faithfulness in God by being faithful around with the people around you, even if those people are unfaithful to you. You're called to be faithful. Jesus was faithful even when those around him were unfaithful. He never wavered, but he pursued faithfulness. His desire while he was on earth was to please the Father. You and I, our desire should be to please the Father. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time. Amen. Remember, living in fear means that you're living a life that's half lived. Make a decision to close the door on fear and walk in the confidence of Jesus Christ.